Right. Bye-bye.
So this is Veterans Voice, and check out that documentary, National Bird. Our Facebook page is Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM. And I do post some articles on there. I know Facebook kind of sucks, but I don't know. That's what I'm using. So I'm on there, and you can get in contact with me there, and I'll post these things on Facebook. And we are going to be back on July 21st on a Friday at 9 a.m. And there it is.
U.S. Special Forces are playing in the Philippines under the pretext of putting down an ISIS-related insurgency by the Mountain Group in the province of Mindanao. Then we examine a new form of deep ocean mining and the consequences it could have on the environment. Next, we feature an exclusive. And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock in the a.m. And coming up, Air Cascadia is off today. We're going to hear a full Flashpoints, followed at 11 with Radio Zine presenting Between Us, an interview with local artist Sadie Beasley, whose work honors Black women's strength and femininity. And thanks to KBOO members for all of your generous support. Those listeners who are not current members of the KBOO Foundation can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm right now when you click on the word donate. Stay tuned. There's lots of great radio coming up, and it's made possible with the support of your friends and neighbors. So it's time for you to join in. Here's Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints. Up first, we look at the role U.S. Special Forces are playing in the Philippines under the pretext of putting down an ISIS-related insurgency by the Mauti group in the province of Mindanao. Then we examine a new form of deep ocean mining and the consequences it could have on the environment. Next, we feature an exclusive interview with Stephen F. Cohen, one of the country's leading experts on Russia. Finally, we have a special report by Neuroberos Friedman and the Electronic Intifada about the reasons behind the recent banning of the new Wonder Woman film in Lebanon. I'm Kevin Pina, filling in for Dennis Bernstein. All the straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. U.S. Special Forces are reported to be fighting side by side with the Philippine military in the town of Marawi. U.S. Special Forces joined the battle in the Philippines after 13 Philippine Marines were killed in intense urban fighting. The military said the U.S. is providing technical support to end the siege of Marawi by fighters from the so-called Mauti group, which is believed to be allied with ISIS. There are also reports of the Philippine Air Force bombing various sections of Marawi. Here is a statement given by Colonel Joar Herrera, a spokesperson for the 1st Infantry Division of the Philippine Army.
The use of airstrikes is to soften the position and to take down battle positions of the enemy, particularly machine gun nests, sniper's nests, and the command and control of the enemy.
The ongoing clashes broke out on May 23rd when the Mauti group attacked Marawi, prompting President Rodrigo Duterte to declare martial law across the entire southern island of Mindanao. Here is the latest update from the China Global Television Network.
U.S. Special Forces are helping the local military end the siege in the southern city of Marawi. The American Embassy in the Philippines says Washington's aid comes at Manila's request. The government is trying to retake all of Marawi from hundreds of fighters loyal to ISIL. The U.S. and the Philippines had been close allies until President Rodrigo Duterte turned cool towards Washington. The city of Marawi has been under siege for 3 weeks and threatens to become a stronghold for ISIL in the region.
And now joining us is Rhonda Romero. She's the vice chair of Bayan USA. It's an alliance of 20 Filipino organizations in the United States. Rhonda, welcome back to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
Well, there are U.S. troops reportedly in Marawi now, allegedly there to fight against so-called the Maute, who are said to be aligned with ISIS. We also hear there are U.S. drones. The Philippine Air Force is bombing certain sections of the city. Why don't you give us a little background of how this started in Mindanao?
Sure. So one thing I would like to point out is that the U.S. military has never actually left the Philippines. They've really been there since 1898. And in modern times, after the declaration of the so-called war on terror under Bush, the Philippines was declared the second front. And so what it meant on the ground for people in the Philippines was an increased presence of boots, of U.S. troops being in communities, being not relegated to just bases, but actually in communities where people live. And in Mindanao in particular, there was always a presence since 2002 of U.S. Special Operations Forces and other military because Mindanao was considered like the hotspot for foreign terrorists. And so that was where the U.S. Ensured that they had a permanent presence. They may not call it a permanent presence. They called it a rotational presence. But when there are 660 U.S. Special Operations Forces always on a particular place, a particular island in the Philippines, you know, I don't know what else to call it, but permanent. So they've been there. But with this new declaration of martial law,
it's what you can call it is you can call it an occupation force, basically.
Yeah, yes, you can. And so they do it under the guise of, oh, well, we're just training or we're providing intelligence, we're providing technical assistance to the Philippine military. This is the way they get around the Philippine Constitution, which actually forbids a foreign army or foreign military from being on our sovereign ground. And so they say they're there just for information sharing and for joint training and exercises. So that's the guise under which the U.S. military has actually been in the Philippines, you know, for decades and then at this increased rate over the past 15 years. And so now with the new situation, it kind of opens the door for an increased presence again. And you have the Philippine military saying that they need to battle these foreign Islamic extremists. It's the same narrative of the war on terror that's been used, you know, since 2001. So it's really kind of recycled and very convenient for the U.S. Current U.S. strategy of the Asia pivot, where the U.S. military is trying to move 60% of its naval forces to the Asia Pacific region. So it's, you know, a perfect combination of a suspicious combination of Islamic extremists supposedly terrorizing a city in the Philippines, and now there's a good excuse for the U.S. military to increase its presence there to help the Philippine military.
And that's the voice of Rhonda Romero. She's with Bayan USA. We're talking about the Philippines and U.S. Special Forces reportedly fighting alongside with Philippine military troops to ostensibly oust the Maute group, which is said to be aligned with ISIS, the Islamic State terrorist organization. So tell us about the Maute group. Who are these folks, and do you see this as real, or is this all just being blown up as a pretext for further U.S. military encroachment in the Philippines?
Well, we do see it as a pretext for that, and that even if it's not, the Philippine military has said itself that it's a small group just as the Abu Sayyaf group, which I think some of your listeners may be familiar with because they were the ones that first became notorious for kind of bandit slash terrorist operations in the Philippines. The same pretext for increased militarization of communities. And, you know, why are these communities under attack by the Philippine military and by, you know, kind of an occupying force, the U.S. military? It's because they sit on land that is so rich in resources, including, you know, deposits or reserves of oil and natural gas and then mineral resources, also some of the most fertile agricultural land, and then, you know, miles and miles of coastline, which is strategic for U.S. naval forces and the deployment of the forward deployment of U.S. military for whatever kinds of military operations they'd like to conduct in that part of the world, near China, of course. And so, you know, it's a perfect pretext. And whether, and, you know, considering that the Philippine military has said it's small and that they can contain the Maute group on their own, there's really no reason for the U.S. to get involved. So it's, you know, kind of a convenient way for the U.S. to say, oh, well, we'll help you with that. This is a joint operation, mutual interest. We have mutual interest in containing terrorist threats. So let's help you. You're a longtime ally and friend. And that, to me, you know, is very suspicious.
Well, President Duterte is an interesting character for sure, but he's declared martial law in Mindanao. He does not seem to be speaking out against U.S. forces on the ground in Mindanao fighting alongside the Philippine military. You know, there are U.S. drones here, we hear. Certainly the aircraft that the Philippine Air Force are using were supplied by or bought from the United States. And we also know that Duterte has been accused of jailing his political opponents, most notably Senator Leyla de Lima. What is your view of Duterte and his role in this crisis?
Well, Duterte is certainly backtracking on his former statements of ejecting the U.S. military, saying that we'll never allow more U.S. military into this country, that they should actually, you know, start packing, that I'm going to suspend you know, joint military exercises. By allowing this to happen and saying that we, you know, can use all the support we can get with this fight against Islamic extremists, that is, you know, almost a 180-degree turn away from his original statements of pursuing an independent foreign policy and really lambasting the U.S. for, you know, over, what, 119 years of intervention and military force and subjugation on the country. And so, you know, we are very critical of Duterte for doing that. And, you know, it's really a dangerous game that he seems to be playing with trying to placate these military forces who are very pro-U.S., who are in his cabinet, the Department of Defense, the, you know, Armed Forces of the Philippines, Chief of Staff. They're all very pro-U.S. Military people, very powerful in the country, and have had kind of this tenuous relationship with Duterte in the past. It seems like he's really trying to placate to them in an effort to, you know, stabilize his regime and make sure that he can actually stay in power. You know, at the same time, you know, there are there's still a push for Duterte and his and members of his administration who are engaging in peace talks, peace negotiations, both with the Moral Islamic Liberation Front, which is the separatist group in Mindanao, and the forces of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, which represents the communist forces in the country. You know, and, you know, these peace talks and that kind of diplomatic approach to negotiating the root causes of why there's unrest in the first place in the Philippines is really the way to go. And, you know, since there are still, you know, forces within the administration and Duterte himself saying he hasn't given up on those processes, we want to push him in that direction and to veer away from this direction which he seems to be going in right now, which is the pro-military, heavy-handed approach.
Well, we're going to leave it there, but we're going to keep following that story. Again, that is the voice of Rhonda Romero. She's the vice chair of Bayan USA, an alliance of more than 20 Filipino groups in the United States who are basically fighting for the rights of all Filipino citizens and their sovereignty against U.S. imperialism. Rhonda, thanks so much for joining us today here on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Thanks, Kevin.
And let's go ahead and take a break. And when we return, we're going to discuss ocean mining in the deep areas of the oceans and the impact that it can have on the environment. Stay tuned. We'll be back with that and more here on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and my next guest, Eric Vance, is a science writer as well as he is an